Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Spray continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Spray.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Spray.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Spray here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
God bless the beaver.
Got a lot to get to here in the next 2 hours of the radio program. It's been a delightful little Monday, halfway down, halfway to go. I got a whole bunch of college football stuff in my notes. I randomly have a college basketball thing in my notes.
What?
Would you want to buy this?
I thought about this. If I was super rich and I couldn't afford the NBA team, would I do this? And I think I would.
It's a great I think it's a great selling point.
But also, that's so much money to just spend on a vanity project.
It is. Well, this was I remember I brought up last week the NIL numbers for Washington came out for Montlake Futures, and they spent $44 million last year on NIL to players.
Yeah.
Now, you can imagine 97% of that went to football. 2.5% of it went to men's basketball.
The rest was
and then
doled
a half
out.
A percentage yeah. doled out yes. around the rest of your teams. And it's just that tough thought of like, that's a lot of money. It's not as much as many are spending when you combine the contributions throughout the rest of college athletics. But if you're one of those people who stroke like a $6 million check,
mm-hmm.
at what point is there very stern questions of what am I getting out of this? If you're not seeing success for it. And that's a difficult part that we're in. Of like, I just wrote you a $5 million check. Our football team went 7-5.
Yeah.
Or what did they go, 8-4 last year?
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately, if you're writing NIL contributions, I imagine that's what you care about most. Or, hey, I wrote a check to the basketball program to get this Utah State transfer, and we couldn't even make the tournament. So why am I buying these? What am I paying these players for if we're not getting the money out of it? So there was a story in college basketball we'll get to at some point. Let's go to the NFL, though, shall we? You mentioned the NFC West, and I do want to talk about the NFC West.
All right, it's going to be, I mean, going in, it's the best division in the sport. You got the defending champions.
Yes.
You've got the all-in Rams. And
the favorite.
The Niners are like one of those wild card divisional teams that annoys you, but on paper doesn't appear that they're going to be one of those true contenders.
Probably not, but they won a playoff game last year in Philadelphia,
exactly,
which
yeah.
that's got to hurt if you're an Eagles fan. Before we do that, though, I have two bits of business in the NFL to take care of,
okay.
including this. We know opening night of the NFL season, it will be the Seattle Seahawks raising their banner
yeah.
from winning their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then it gets announced, oh, they're going to play the Bears. No, they're not going to play the Bears. They're going to play the New England Patriots, a rematch of the Super Bowl. One of the coaches involved in that, I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
What's the line? I'm hammering Seahawks.
Oh, let me find the line for you. You want an early NFL line?
I mean, hammering's a bit aggressive. It's week one. You're going to get some slow rust
I
factor
got you,
here.
Dog. I got you, dog.
But did the Patriots...
3.5.
Seahawks.
Hammer it. Early hammer. Do I have a July hammer?
Are we spraying the line?
Are we locking it in now?
I might lock in a spraying line pick.
Could go up if they get some of the
Which
defensive guys back.
Which way do you think
back.
That line goes? Stay?
I think it'll go in favor of Seattle.
Oh, it goes to 4.
I think it'll go higher than that, yeah. If they get some of the defensive guys back, because you're not quite sure who all is going to be in the lineup at
well,
that point.
According to you, it was all luck last year. Patriots not going to even be sniffing the playoffs this year.
You know my stance. Not a playoff yeah. team this year. They're going to tumble. And one of the reasons is their head coach has had a bit of an interesting offseason. Been in the news a time or two.
For Stooping a reporter.
Away from the football field.
Yeah.
How about this? Do we give credit? Do we laugh at? Are we proud of what he pulled on Friday?
I'll do my best here with BB. Okay, so welcome, everybody. It's good to see you guys. You know, something that we did last year, obviously the first day of training camp, was the Patriots program that Dana Kraft implemented last year and was really successful. Did a lot of really good work, not only for these dogs, but for the families that adopted them. So I think we've almost got 60 dogs this year. And so if anybody's looking to add to their roster at home, we would love for you to be able to adopt these dogs tomorrow. I think some of them are already spoken for. Me and BB are making quick friends here. German Shepherd mix, so... Been working with her all year. She's going to try to protect me if anybody gets out of control. So we're going to let her roam around. We'll see how she does on this podium here. She's nervous.
He walked to the podium at the opening day of training camp with a puppy in his arms.
Yes, he did. I'm going to defuse these Rossini questions immediately.
You want to ask me questions about cheating on my wife and betraying my family?
A decades-long romance?
Going to Sedona at a couple's retreat and then lying about it to everybody involved?
So,
how about I come to the podium with a puppy? Do we applaud the effort here? Or are we this more of the same from Mike Vrabel?
It's look, is there effort? Obviously, the effort is don't ask me. Did they ask him? Or did he legitimately stun them so much that they were like, how'd practice go?
That's a great question. I did not see the entire press conference. I'm not sure if somebody was like, hey, Mike, can you put the puppy down for a second? So why'd you cheat on your wife with an NFL reporter?
Well, he still hasn't admitted it.
They will not admit it.
He says, you know, I've disappointed my family.
What'd you do to disappoint your family, Mike?
But to my knowledge, on the actual Rossini stuff, he claims they were just there at the same time, and their friends are friends and all that stuff.
Just happened to run into her at a couple.
Was she pregnant loading up a boat in Tennessee a couple years back?
Maybe.
And he went with her, and it was just them two.
Oh, you needed a hand. I happen to be on the same dock.
That's
we're walking
weird.
Here. You're pregnant. You can't lift this boat on your own. Let me help you, Diana
Let me
Rossini.
Help you and little Michael. This has been moved
one
on.
Of the funniest
I just
tells.
This is crazy to me that some people in society they're just getting away with it. Nothing has happened to this guy.
Nope.
Diana Rossini might be out of the media landscape forever. We all thought Joey Barstool will hire her. I don't know, dude. Sounds like
she's
nobody
not done anything
wants to
yet.
Do anything with her.
Yeah, she. I mean, I think people would hire her. She just has not had.
Barstool, what would you hire her for?
Barstool would definitely
what
hire,
would they
her
hire her for
just to be a podcast host. I don't know what, but you know, Barstool.
If she's
would jump
not
into
reporting
those waters.
Any newsworthy stuff,
they just hired Jay Gruden.
Yeah, well, there's at least a tie there. His brother works for them.
They're going to do a football show together.
Exactly. Gruden on Gruden.
Right.
Who's more racist? Let's find out. All right. Hey, guy. But, like, if she's not reporting news, what is the show?
I don't know. I don't know what any of their shows are, to be honest with you.
Well, that's fine. But my whole point is, like, merely, even if she comes back to report stuff, what is everybody going to say?
She will never be an NFL insider again. She can't. That will never happen.
This is my point.
Never.
So her consequence from this, and she, you know, all of it is karma.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, goodbye to your career. And she made a ton of money. It sounds like her husband does really well. They're still married. Like, they financially might not be hurting.
Right.
Mike Vrabel, his punishment is what? Buying a sweatshirt at Utah?
Missing day three of the NFL draft?
The day three NFL draft? He brought a puppy to the podium.
Yeah, I lost a fourth round pick here.
And we're just going to move on. No big deal. It's just, I don't know. It's just
I saw that on Friday and I laughed
ridiculous.
Out loud.
I saw the video too.
Oh my God. He's showing up with a puppy to the press conference. That is a veteran
he
move.
He could only top this by walking out with a Make-A-Wish kid. This is Jacob. He's wanted to do a press conference his entire life.
I'm surprised he didn't do that.
He's got stage 3 bone cancer.
Nobody ask any tough questions, okay?
Let's
it's Make-A-Wish situation
Jacob.
Here, okay?
He grabs Jacob by the shoulders and Jacob now is directly in front of him.
You stand
and
right
he stares
here.
Every reporter like, I dare you to ask that question now. And nobody in that crowd is going to go,
hey,
Jacob, this one's actually for Mike. Mike,
hey,
why
Mike.
Were you stooping Rossini?
Why'd you betray your family, Mike?
On a boat when she was super pregnant. I'd love your answer on that. Thanks.
One other bit of news in the NFL. Do we like or not like, have we had a chance to glimpse the new Buffalo Bill uniforms? They came out with a new alternate this morning. They are called the Nickel City uniforms. And if you're wondering, oh, they're blue, right? Nope, they're not blue. They are indeed gray in a kind of dark charcoal kind of gray. And it's got blue numbers, and I don't know what's going on with the helmet. They're calling it the charge helmet. It's not the normal buffalo on the side.
It looks terrible.
It's kind of a horn that loops around the back.
Wait,
I don't really know what's going on.
It's a charcoal gray almost.
Yeah. Buffalo is buffalo. Nicknamed Nickel City?
I guess that's the name of the, yeah.
Do we mine nickel in
that's actually a good point of why we would call it that.
Let me Google it. Why is Buffalo considered the Nickel City?
Are we minting nickels in Buffalo?
Was the first chicken wing 5 cents?
Oh, the Buffalo Nickel? Was it a Buffalo Nickel?
Buffalo is called the Nickel City because the United States Indian Head Nickel, produced from 1913 to 1938,
have you
and
seen
widely
the nickel?
Known as the Buffalo Nickel, features a bison on
right.
it.
I've
and
seen
so,
it.
Okay,
my dad owns some of them.
Yeah,
I had to talk that one out loud there for a minute to figure out why.
That still doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I guess you want to lean into it. They're
can
calling
you play
them
homage with like a better uniform though? Like,
yeah, this is ugly.
I love all the things that these people, these cities, like are dedicating, right? Yeah. Like when we did the Oregon jersey for the Portland Trailblazers or City Connect.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like,
I thought you were talking about, for a brief moment, our Oregon State of the Oregon jerseys that they wore against Washington.
Like, can you like shout out the tribes with not an entirely brown uniform?
There's a better way to do it than that, than
That's
having an ugly
saying.
Jersey that nobody wants to wear.
Yeah.
Can I also...
Guess
this,
what's getting panned today?
It's getting killed. I will also send all the ammunition you want. I hate when my team in big games wears gray or silver. There's nothing that bothers me more. It's not a school color.
You guys are very notorious.
They
for that,
love
actually.
Getting into their biggest moments and then wearing all silver like you're a superhero. And like, can we just... A hint of green, a hint of yellow. How about that? We got great school colors. Gray jerseys need to be outlawed. They need to be banned. There's no point in that. If you want to wear gray pants,
Yankee road jersey.
All baseball road jerseys are gray. This isn't a baseball thing. That's allowable because they've always done it. Almost every team has road grays.
So this is just what sports?
Football. Football in particular. Basketball is whatever. Football jerseys.
Well, who has a gray?
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head.
Like an away road jersey.
Gray and silver should be banned in football. It should be banned.
What about the Raiders?
Again, pants are okay. All gray, top to bottom.
If the Raiders went all gray, you'd have a problem
It'd
with that.
It'd be disgusting.
Don't the Lions have
disgusting.
They do.
Don't the Lions have a gray?
They have an all gray. They're disgusting. They're gross.
What's worse, the all yellow Charger or the all gray Raider? I don't even know if the Raiders have ever done all gray, but like if they did,
they probably
have. I wouldn't bat an eye at it. They're the Raiders.
The pants are silver.
It's the Raiders is silver.
Yeah, get your colors right, okay?
It's the silver and black.
Really?
Silver and black. The autumn wind is a pirate.
It's gray.
Tumbling along.
If I don't see a reflection,
the
it's
other
gray.
Team's quarterback must go down. He must go down hard.
The Charger all yellow one.
The Charger all
awful.
Yellow one's gross. The Rams all yellow one is gross. Yeah. I don't know what the push is for all yellow
and
a bad
Bills
shade of yellow.
All red one?
I do. I'd rather have the Bills all red one than their gray ones.
Was that the ketchup mustard game?
Yeah, it was one.
Or was
of
it?
Ooh,
is it,
was that the ketchup mustard game? It might have been.
I remember they had an all red, and there was like a somebody that was colorblind. It was like, I literally can't tell the difference because these two colors specifically.
It was mustard yellow or something.
I can't remember who it was. Was it the Jets? Was it a Christmas theme?
I remember
that game.
You remember the game I'm talking about?
I remember
about?
That, and that becoming a big thing of colorblind people don't know who has the ball. They're just confused. It's the same color, man. It's gray on gray. Help me out here.
I just think all of one color is pretty terrible.
Yes, it's very hard to do all of one. Like, the blackout jerseys are always – I'll allow that. Like, black being a color you throw in it, as a football team to have an all-black – like, I'm fine with that. The
all
Niners
– the all-white jerseys
all
can
whites.
Be good.
I'll allow it.
The Bengal ice whites.
Yes, the ice whites are great. Now, you didn't like them, but I like the Niners have their all-black alternates that they wear. Like, it's for one game. Dude, whatever, dude. You got an all-black. I'm fine with that. Grace, it just is – it's like the vanilla of colors.
No. Wouldn't that be white?
What are we doing here?
Wouldn't white be the vanilla of colors?
But white is at least understandable, okay? It's your road whites. You got to wear your road whites, okay? I get it. Silvers and grays, get them out of here. Get them out.
White, okay.
White, okay. Gray, not okay.
Okay.
Salt and pepper, not allowed. End of rant.
I'm not mad at the rant because there's a lot of other awful uniforms in the National Football League.
I just think you'll have a hard time finding. Somebody texted in or mentioned the Spurs all grays
Spurs
in basketball.
A good one. That's
the
a good
Spurs
one.
Did you
all
like the all pewters from the Bucks?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I got no issue with it.
Well, why? Well, that's in the shade of the gray
different
family.
I got to go back and look
pewter
at it.
Than gray.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Let me go look at the jerseys, okay?
If it was a crayon box, it'd be near the gray.
Yeah, no, I'm out on the all pewters. Out on the all pewters.
I don't think you knew what you were talking about.
I don't know what color pewter is. I've never heard of the color pewter before, and then you said it, and I thought that's probably a color that's not silver or gray, but we just came up with a different word for the same crappy color.
So what's your stance on the Spurs?
They're ugly. If the Spurs show up and they're all black uniforms,
okay, gray and black.
Let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
Power rank the Spurs jerseys for me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Which one's in last place?
I'm going to go number one is the kind of the cursive script San Antonio Fiestas.
Without a doubt,
delightful.
Number one.
Just
not even
great.
Close.
All those are black.
It's not even close.
The all white.
Oh, okay. What's third?
With the black font and a little bit of silver lining.
Yep. Third, they're all black jerseys. Funny how you got there. What's in last place? Oh, that's right. The silver jerseys because they're ugly.
Oh, they're not better than the
other. They're ugly. Don't defend. You don't need to defend gray jerseys. It's okay.
What if we
get
came
your
out
pewter
with all silver?
I would hate them.
All gray.
I would hate them, and we would all hate them.
Remember,
we don't like our all red uniforms. We're not going to like all gray uniforms.
Don't? I love the all red.
I don't have any issue with it. People think they look like Cincinnati. I don't know.
Cincinnati. Oh, the
Bearcats.
Reds?
Yeah. No,
the Bearcats.
Yeah, the Bearcats. Yeah.
I like the all red blazer uniform.
You know what I say to the guy who designed these in Buffalo?
You're going
to
get fired.
You should get fired. Are
they doing a standard helmet with this?
The Bills?
This is what looks weird to me. It's one thing to do an offshoot different jersey. When the Niners did black, they don't look that bad, but I'm not a big fan of them.
Sure.
They at least did a black helmet. It looks odd when you do the one-off all jersey color
you
with
want the
helmet standard
to match? Helmet.
Like when the Rams, when the Chargers do the all yellow, but still
yellow
wear the
helmet?
Baby blue and white helmet, I'm like, what are you doing?
You want an all yellow helmet?
I mean, you're already there.
You might as well go all yellow at that point.
If you're making a banana split and you put a little bit of whipped cream on the topping in the three scoops, are you not putting a cherry on? You're just going to stop there?
Another gross
kind of madness
one.
Is this?
Somebody's texting in, and the answer is absolutely not. The Seahawks grays are disgusting.
Yeah, I mean,
you know that they're gross.
Very fearful.
Yeah, I'd take the
the
limesicle jerseys over the gray.
I would, too. Oh. And those are ugly as well. I'd take their
something.
Knockoff Oregon Temu jerseys from last year that they wore with feathers on the shoulders.
They won that game, by
they
the
won
way.
That game. Yeah, so wear them. Those are better. Seahawk fan, you have to admit, you're not excited when you see the all grays.
Well, you can gauge it this way. This is the best way you can gauge jerseys. Yeah. Which jersey of the team do you see in the crowd? I don't know if I've ever seen the all-gray Seahawk jersey.
No, they don't exist.
You see the old-school ones.
Yes,
those Steve Largent throwbacks.
You might get gray pants. Okay, gray pants with the old-school jersey. Totally fine.
Hasselbeck with an Alexander. You might see that version. And then you see a lot of Russ Wilson. You see the white Sherman. Like, you see more of the JSN. Like, you see the more modern version. You don't see an all-gray Seahawk uniform in that crowd.
No, nobody's wearing that. Nobody wants it.
So why do we do gray?
I don't know. This is the large part of the rant. Nobody's asking for gray jerseys. Nobody wants them. My team is so known for this, and I yell at the television every time they wear silver.
Do you like the all-blue
You're
Bills?
Not the Oregon Raiders.
What about the all-blue Bills?
I'd be okay with all-blue Bills. I like when they go all-blue from time to time. Yeah. It's a team color. What a novel concept. In the NFC West, it's probably the least notable of all of them, but Jacoby Brissett got his rework deal done. Hello, Cardinals. You got your starting quarterback
in
place.
He's made $15.5 million for the year. Yeah. He'll be 1 year starter. We know this is over after this year. And then he can get up to $21.5 million with incentives.
Makes sense.
Which for them might be like you won more than three games. Good job. Here's
$5 million. Do they win a division game?
Yes. They'll get somebody.
They'll sneak. They might
get
my team.
They'll go 1-5.
Yeah.
In division.
I don't know about 1-5. I think they get a division game, though. I don't know how many they win. Maybe they're sneaky good
this
year.
They only get six.
I know, but I don't know how good they're going to be.
Do you see?
They have a sneaky great wide receiver tandem.
How many division?
Marvin Harrison and Michael Wilson are pretty good players.
They went 3-14 last year. Did they win a NFC West game? By the way, started 2-0.
I remember they almost beat my team. My team had to come back.
They eliminated me from the survivor pool against the Tennessee Titans when they fumbled. Remember when they fumbled the interception?
Hold on, let's play this game.
Was it a touchback or a safety? They got a pick against Cam Ward and then fumbled it somehow back into the end zone, and it went to the Titans.
They didn't beat the Seahawks.
No.
They didn't beat.
Did they get the Rams? I'm trying
Rams
to
remember. Good though. They were like 14-3.
They were really good. All three of them were really good.
And the Rams lost one to the Niners. One. Oh no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Because they lost the Eagles.
So it
would have
been
the Niners.
So it would have been the Niners.
They didn't.
Then they did not win a division
game. They did not win an NFC West game. Their three wins were New Orleans on the road in Week One. How do you feel about that, Saints fans? They went into your house and beat them.
I tell you what I'm buying today.
I didn't mean for this to become a Cardinal point, but it is kind of
funny. Brissett jersey?
Beat the Panthers, and then they beat the – remember they beat the Cowboys on Monday Night Football in Dallas?
I don't remember that game at all.
I do remember that game because it was like, oh, my God, the Cowboys are losing. They were down 17-0 in the second quarter.
That was last year.
That was last year on Monday Night Football. Dak Prescott indeed played in the game, and they lost by 10 at home to the Arizona Cardinals.
I'm buying an Athlon magazine after the show.
Oh, look at you.
I'm diving in. Dude.
Get your reading done.
So jacked.
Let's learn about our rosters.
The depth charts, the studying up, the reminders of what happened last year like we just did.
They beat that team. I forgot about that.
So one funny note out of that, he got signed and he was asked, he had his first day of camp. They got a new system and everything. And they're like, so you memorized most of the playbook? He goes, oh, hell no. It was so confusing. There was so much going on. I just don't know how their brains work to like memorize all that stuff.
They their fans immediately. Do you know who their offensive coordinator is? Do you know that answer off the top of your head?
For the Cardinals?
For the Cardinals.
Well, they hired a LaFleur.
It's a known name. When you hear it, you're going to be like, oh.
Like, oh, in a good way or a
bad
way?
In a bad way. Think about offensive minds in the last 5 years, 10 years in the NFL who have not done much with their opportunities. No?
Chan Gailey.
Chan Gailey. Apparently, it is Nathaniel Hackett is their offensive coordinator, the Aaron Rodgers whisperer himself.
Oh, man.
He had a press conference moment go viral where he was asked about the running back room. Now, we all remember 3-14, their number one pick was Jeremiah Love, stud running back out of Notre Dame. Let's rebuild the offense. And somebody asked him at a press conference about the running back room, which the focal point should be who? Jeremiah Love, your top five pick? And he talked about every other running back in the room, and then the guy had to ask a follow-up, like, what about Jeremiah Love? And he said, oh, he's definitely a rookie. And that was it. And Cardinal fans are now calling for him to get fired.
I'm just being honest.
Before they even coach.
If this is Shanahan Lynch era ends and the Niners move on and they bring in Nate Hackett to be my OC, punt. We'll see you next year when he's fired.
Bye-bye. Talk to you next season.
If you're a player, are you calling your agent at that point? It's like,
is he Nathaniel calling the plays Hackett? Or is LaFleur?
I'd assume LaFleur is, and he's a head coach or an offensive coordinator in name only.
Why
but I don't know the answer to that.
Has anybody done a worse job? And he keeps getting jobs.
Him
he
and Arthur Smith.
Good hang.
Him and Arthur Smith somehow keep failing upwards.
Arthur Smith had to go to college, though. He was done in the NFL. Nate Hackett is still an OC?
Yes.
He must be a great hang. Nate Hackett, I think, brings donuts in, buys your beer. He's got to be a great wingman if your coach is single at a bar. Like, how else do you explain
this? I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Go watch the reaction when he says it, and he's like, oh, yeah, Jeremiah Love. Yeah, he's a rookie. That's all we're going to get. Top five pick. We're going to build our offense around this cat.
That's awesome.
The last top five pick in offense we had was Harrison Jr., and he's been nothing but a disappointment 2 years into his career. Can we get this one right at some point? Cardinals go to Cardinal. More NFC West conversation and NFL conversation on the other side. We'll dive into college football a little bit later on in the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Hey, welcome back in. It is 8:27. Back quick and early, ready to go.
I like it.
I love when people are great and they notice things. And sometimes we do and say stuff and it's like, oh, why would you do and say that? Look at you. And a great point. Dirt is literally angsting on the radio about teams wearing gray uniforms while wearing a gray t-shirt.
I thought this was a shade of green.
What?
Yeah, I think this is a shade of green.
That's gray.
This is green.
That is gray.
Green or gray, swag. Green or gray.
I'm not playing this color
play
game.
Play the green or gray game.
That's
we
gray.
All know your accountability with colors is bad. You're 0 for 1 all time on the color bracket.
From in here, that looks gray to
okay.
me.
All right. Come take a look at it in the sunlight. Let me know what you think about
all
that.
Right.
I'm looking in the studio. That's gray, brother.
But
if that's green, I'm colorblind.
That looks gray.
Let the record state, if that's green, I am colorblind.
Didn't we already discover that? What was it,
looks
jacket?
Just like the Bills jersey color.
You think this looks like the Bills jersey color?
Maybe out in daylight, you might get me to, that might be a dark shade of sage.
I got no beef with gray t-shirts. That's not the point of the segment.
Oh, it's just
don't be moving the goalposts on me here.
It's just ironic how much you're hammering gray while wearing gray.
It's mainly an existential crisis over my team losing big games wearing all gray uniforms. A lot of pain.
What is that, by the way?
I don't know.
Anybody down there been able to say what, why?
Nike is some of the smartest marketing minds on the planet. They've done an incredible job of giving Oregon uniforms that look awesome, that kids want to wear, that makes them their dream school. All of it has been great. Hmm. And then you wear gray in your biggest game. And you lose.
And it's like not just landing.
Like, it's every generation of Oregon.
Every single run.
Last year, if I remember correctly, their first big game of the year, I think, was the Penn State game. And well, I know that was but if I remember correctly, didn't they wear all gray in the Penn State game? And it was like, God, here we go.
Was it the white with the gray?
I think it was the white with the gray.
With a little outline
dude,
green.
You wear a yellow helmet and yellow pants?
You want the yellow, huh?
Yes, it's a school color.
When they do the silver helmet, little green outline and white and gray, that's better than all yellow. Want all yellow?
I want all yellow, baby. Give me all yellow. We're not the Raiders, all right? Talking about all yellow, one of the teams wearing all yellow jerseys this year is the Rams. And they have showed up to training camp with Myles Garrett, their newest addition. By the way, a hilarious anecdote from John Lynch about Kyle Shanahan, where he said he was giving him a talk about, it was a John Wooden quote about, you know, don't worry about what they're doing, let them worry about what we're doing, something along those lines. And at the moment he's reading this quote and trying to do an inspirational thing to Kyle Shanahan, they get the news alert that Myles Garrett got traded to the Rams, and Shanahan turned to Lynch and said, bleep John Wooden, like take your John Wooden quote and shove it. Now I got to deal with Myles Garrett coming after Brock Purdy.
I'd feel the same way if I was Shanahan.
Like, why don't you go get me Myles Garrett, huh? How about that? That would have helped me. But he had a quote after the opening couple of days of training camp saying definitely lived up to the expectations. And their head coach has openly talked about, that is Sean McVay, the idea of Aaron Donald, who has been working out occasionally with the team at the facility, potentially coming back, and that disaster class of a defensive line might be coming to the NFC West anytime now.
I think if you're a fan of any of the teams or any other team in the NFL, you should mentally be expecting Aaron Donald to show up and wreck you a couple weeks during the season to ramp up for the playoffs. I mean, there's no team facing more pressure this year.
No.
Now, I don't think that team – pressure's not going to break that team. Because they're so good. They were 5 yards away from potentially winning the Super Bowl last year, right? That was a great game in Seattle. And I saw Myles Garrett's quote of like, yeah, I want Seattle. Like, he's already foaming at the mouth to take on the Seahawks and to sack Sam Darnold. So I just, you know, the NFC West was already the most interesting division, I thought, in the sport.
It was the best in the league last year.
Your top three teams being as good as they were with one winning the Super Bowl, you add Myles Garrett to that equation. I don't know how you have any other opinion. There might be a division that rises up and is better once the games get going. But for me, I don't even know what second place would be of best division. Probably the AFC West on paper.
I would probably go on paper AFC West.
Chiefs,
yeah.
Denver, and the Chargers.
The Raiders are the Cardinals of that division, but everybody else feels like a bit of a contender.
No doubt.
And they were, well, the Chiefs weren't in the playoffs, but they're still the Chiefs. The Chargers and the Broncos were both in the playoffs last year.
The third one to me is probably the AFC South, because you've got the Texans, you've got the Colts, and you've got the Jaguars.
Over the NFC North?
Good point.
I think I take NFC North.
You're right. I take the NFC North. You're
and
right.
Then
all
probably,
four of those teams. You're right. I'll take that back.
I think last place was Detroit last year at 9-8.
Yeah.
You still have Tennessee. Now, maybe Tennessee turns it around with Saleh and the new staff there and Daboll being the OC, so they could become
more
relevant.
Top to bottom, the North is kind of the one, unless the Bengals get hurt again, that you look at on paper and say all four of those are playoff teams.
Yeah, the AFC North just has the Browns sticking their head out like, hey, don't forget about us. We're pretty irrelevant.
They were also, the Steelers won it by default. That was not a good division by record.
I feel like that's been the case for the AFC North, where on paper it seems like a good division, and then you get halfway through the year and you're like, first place is a game above 500.
Yeah, well, the Ravens were choking games away. The Steelers are very meh, and the Bengals are just beat to hell.
So. Burrow hasn't been able to stay
healthy.
And
the Browns are the Browns.
Elsewhere in the NFC North, Witherspoon in Seattle are working towards a contract extension. Mike McDonald was asked about that at their opening press conference stuff, opening a training camp, saying that he likes where they're at on a contract extension conversation. The initial offer was made about 4 months ago, so that's, I think, what people are having a little consternation over of, like, what's taken so long.
Mm-hmm.
But he likes where they're at. And then Eamon Worry, who we talked about going on the PUP list, was that last week, 2 weeks ago? I can't remember. They said he's not going to be sidelined long term. He did have a little bit of ankle surgery. They're still hopeful he's able and ready to go for the opener, and they expect him back by then.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you just never quite know exactly how things are going to go. And last but not least, in Seattle, Zach Charbonnet, who is obviously coming off the injury at the end of last year as well, his status and timetable is not quite as concrete as Eamon Worry's, and they're not quite sure. McDonald said he's doing a phenomenal job. He's attacked the heck out of the offseason, yada, yada, yada. We're just not quite sure when he's going to be able to go, and they're going to need him to have a good year considering he lost Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker to the Chiefs.
Yeah, they had they showed a clip yesterday at their camp, and it was Darnold throwing a little bit of a deep out route to Cooper Kupp, who made a sick one-handed catch. Brady Henderson, who will probably get on in the next couple weeks as camps continue to ramp up.
Dude, did you remember that they were the Hard Knocks team?
Yeah.
Okay, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, they asked McDonald about it, and he was like, yeah, I'm totally cool with it.
They changed the rules, where it didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to be like, you had to have not made the playoffs, and first-time head coach and all this. Have they changed the rules? It'll be compelling to see what goes on internally there.
I think the NFL won trying to get people reinvested in Hard Knocks, because I think clearly the interest has waned.
Without a doubt.
I also think they look at it and they go, we're just doing the non-playoff teams every year, and then you look and you go, God, he's good. Oh, they're good. Oh, they're good.
Yeah.
It's like, let's get the interesting ones on television. Brady was talking about the position most concerned as they start camp.
The one that comes to mind is running back. And, you know, they obviously let Ken Walker III leave in free agency, and they drafted Jadarian Price at number 32 overall. And, you know, I wouldn't view Price as someone who's going to come in and all of a sudden, you know, be the clear-cut number one who's going to get the ball 20, 25 times a game. I don't think that's the plan at all. I think sort of like last season when it was Walker and Zach Charbonnet. This is going to be a committee, a little different committee, because not only is Walker gone, but Charbonnet is on PUP, recovering from that February ACL surgery. It's going to be Price. It's also going to be George Halani, who is a young returning player that they're really excited about. And then they signed more of a power runner in free agency in Emmanuel Wilson, and then they'll get Charbonnet back at some point. I think that the question there is not only how is that work going to be divvied up, but can Price give them some of the explosiveness that Ken Walker III gave them?
I mean, they're looking for some help at the running back room, there's no doubt, and that was a big part of their offense last year, and so you're leaning on a rookie. We've seen NFL backs come in and be able to be contributors right away. They just need to stay healthy at that position, I think, considering Charbonnet, you're not quite sure when he's going to be back for this upcoming year. But the anticipation is there, man. Seahawks camp is open up, and now we find out when some guys will be back and available. Charbonnet, by the way, 730 yards last year. Kenneth Walker, just over 1,000. So they combined for nearly 1,800 yards.
Yeah, I don't know where that's at for Seahawks fan in terms of panic level. You obviously want your running game to be pretty good, but do you trust the coaching staff and the organization? I would argue you do, and you should, to get Charbonnet back and be okay in the meantime. I think what's just interesting here is, like, the reality of that league, because we've had some multiple, you know, multi-winners. We had the Chiefs going for the three-peat not long ago. The Eagles were in a couple Super Bowls in a year's time. The Niners made a couple appearances. Like, you've had some repeat teams either win or get there. I just, like, if you're betting a team to win a Super Bowl, I have to really consider if Seattle's even in my top seven. And that's not a talent problem. That's just a reality of the league. Like, I'd feel this way. If my team, I'd go in optimistic if they had won. But if we're being honest about it, you're not going in thinking, like, repeat. Not in this NFL.
Yeah, the Chiefs bucked that trend and finally did it, and they damn near won three in a row. But the difference there being, and again, maybe this is offensive and not fair to the quarterback because he was good down the stretch for them last year. There's a belief when you have a guy of that level of, like, you're going to be in the mix every year. You have Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. You're going to have a puncher's chance in every game that you play. And again, Sam Darnold just won a Super Bowl, so this is probably offensive and not fair to him because he was dynamite in the NFC title game when they needed him to be. But I think that's part of the problem of what are the chances, all everything aligns, the health aligns, the right plays and the right moments align when you don't have a quarterback that's in the Patrick Mahomes conversation. Because as good as Darnold has been over the last 2 years, he's not at that level of quarterback. And so when you're in that stage, you just kind of needed everything else to fall into place, and then he's got to play well in the big games. And that's where I tend to – I don't know about seventh. I'd have to go look at the odds and think about the teams.
But like, for a betting guy, if you're a Seahawk fan, you're probably betting your team to win it.
Oh, without a doubt,
I totally understand why. But if a non-Seahawk fan is making a bet
– right. If I ask you –
outside of your own team.
Right. Would you bet on the Bills to win it or the Seahawks to win it?
The Bills. This is not a – the Seahawks don't have the talent. I'm not making that – the argument is just simply like
– it's very difficult to do.
Is Zach Charbonnet picking up a ball that's just on the ground that nobody knows is live, getting the two-point conversion, and they're hosting the NFC title game?
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen again because I'd never seen that in my life.
And
so,
they're a two-headed monster at running back, and this gets to the point of that concern, was very good and very – until Charbonnet got hurt.
Right.
What was that week – was it the last week of the season or second?
I thought it was kind of the
– I thought it was at the very back end of the year, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right. Maybe week 13-14.
So, I mean, you basically have both backs healthy essentially the entire season. Now, they overcame it, and Kenneth Walker ran wild in the Super Bowl, and that's why he was the MVP of the game. And so they showed that they could get away with it. That was just a big part of their offense. It felt like they reestablished the ability to run the football. They had balance there. The play-action pass killed opponents. And so Charbonnet could be back. Maybe it's Price out of Notre Dame, who they're certainly high on with the first-round pick. That just is a lingering question of what will your run game look like? And will the loss of Kenneth Walker be felt? Will it be a, look at that, he got hurt in week three, ha-ha, thank God we didn't re-sign him. Time will tell on where you're at running back.
How many teams would you put ahead the Seahawks in terms of what you would bet? Like, are you more likely to bet a Seahawk repeat than 26 teams?
To win the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl?
If you're laying a bet for the Seahawks to repeat as Super Bowl champs, how many teams would you actually, with your own money, bet to win it before you pick them to repeat?
Buffalo.
Okay.
The Rams.
Baltimore. I'm just going division here.
The Rams, certainly, you got to put in there.
I don't know if I'd put Baltimore.
Broncos. I'm just trying to think of odds, too, because Seattle's one of the favorites, so you're not getting good value there.
You're looking at odd value, too.
Yeah, that has to matter here. I would go almost the entire NFC North, to be honest with you, just because I find that to be a fun
right
division.
There. So that four,
not saying all of them will be better than Seattle. To your
put
point,
you at seven.
This is a gambling point.
That's yeah. seven teams. Yeah. yeah, and it is. And it's a gambling point. It's not a yeah. talent lacking problem. It's yeah. it's just you play the odds and the math of the NFL. And yes, the Eagles went twice in a 3-year span. Mm-hmm. The Niners went twice in a 4-year span.
Right.
The Chiefs went they back to back and went to the third straight. I understand all that. You don't think the Patriots are going to make the playoffs?
No, Super Bowl losers usually have a pretty rough go of it the next season. That's kind of what we've seen in the history of the NFL. I also think their schedule just broke completely their way last year and everything fell in their lap. If you're a Seahawks fan looking for the hope, I don't think
you're looking for hope.
That's not the right phrasing, yeah. but it's just like, hey, it's Philly would be the better example that I would point to because I don't think Philly has a top 10 quarterback. You know how I feel about Jalen Hurts. It's a very good roster with a good defense that they leaned on Saquon Barkley and he had a dominant run and you were able to get back there and find enough offensively. Like, that would be the comp that I would use of thinking that my team could do it because Philly doesn't have Patrick Mahomes and they went to back-to-back Super Bowls and they won one of them.
You're not wrong, but Philly also, and they had one team pop up
or two out of
for
three
a
years,
season. Philly greatly benefited from a really bad division.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's been down for a while now. There you go, little NFC West talk. I'll just sneak this in quickly. Christian Gonzalez and the Pats are working on an extension that might make him one of the highest paid corners in NFL history. So that's going on right now in New England. They're playing against Seattle on opening night of the NFL season. So that's in the news in the NFL as well. Do we care about this stat in college football? And where do you want your team to show up on this category? We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 FM, The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple thoughts here. YouTube listeners are chiming in. The shirt is green.
I saw it on the YouTube video. It's not that color. We're going to ask people after the show if that's green or gray.
Take a vote. What do you think?
This is literally the dress conundrum.
Is this a green shirt or a gray shirt?
That's a gray shirt.
Another one.
Swag is like licking his lips. He's like, I can't.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, it looks way more green on the YouTube than it's gray. That's a gray shirt.
It's olive green.
If that's green to people in the office, I will tell you this. If it's green, I will tell you tomorrow. I am colorblind.
You're colorblind?
I don't know colors.
My favorite colorblind story of all time is my good buddy Dave from college. We used to play Call of Duty back in the day, and he'd always shoot at the wrong people in Call of Duty. And we'd say, what are you doing? And he said, I'm shooting. And we're like, we did not understand or realize that he was colorblind until he played Call of Duty online. And there was like, I can't remember if it was your team had like a green icon over their head. And
versus red.
The red was the other guys you're supposed to shoot and kill. And I'm like, why are you shooting? And then Don Honest, I'm like, oh my God.
Did he know he was colorblind?
I don't think that he did. I don't think he ever connected the dots. It was the craziest thing. And we're like, how do you not see that? And he did. He had no idea.
I'm not colorblind, but I would say that if I'm wrong in the office today and people give you the win here and that's green.
The dub.
I would just say there are shades of colors that I guess I just can't.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. Now, I will say, if I remember buying the shirt, I feel like I remember it saying olive green. But I don't remember.
Olive green is a different color in my brain than what I'm looking at right now.
I see why people do.
But
think
my
it
wife
green.
Also eats green olives, and that is not the same color.
It's a different color.
It's a different color.
That olive's a little misleading.
Yeah, if that's green, that's like army green or something.
I don't even think it's army green. It legitimately looks like a standard gray t-shirt to me.
You can go watch on YouTube. Let me know what color is my shirt today. As we have a debate about who is or who is not colorblind.
I was looking
you're gonna get fired
during the break, and I got to ask you this.
Yeah.
There was a concert this weekend in a city not named Portland, Oregon, because our venue sucks.
We had a big one down in Eugene. It was the Zach Bryan concert this weekend at Autzen. Dante Moore was on stage with him.
Did we give tickets to that show?
We did give tickets to that show.
Did you go?
I did not go to that show.
That would have been a nice little weekend, but that also would involve you leaving the house. And
Gilmore Girls, you know.
Gilmore Girls. Zach
Can
Ryan
you believe
Gilmore
Luke
Girls?
Painted the cafe? I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked by this information.
Anderson? Or what Luke are you talking about?
Skywalker? And the Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Okay.
God.
So there was a big concert going on, and the artist at this concert loves, I mean loves, to make it known how much the ladies want him.
Ooh, okay.
So Usher is on tour with Chris Brown right now, and they're doing a throwback R&B concert.
Don't take your wife to that show.
Well, he pulls a lady out from the crowd,
as he
does every show.
Always pulls a lady out.
Puts her on a chair.
Yeah. You go see Janet Jackson, it's the reverse, then it's okay. You can go to that show.
Takes the shirt off.
You can gyrate
super on Usher sweaty, super popping with the abs and the muscles.
Yeah. Just naked on
stage.
And he
just starts grinding on these gals, and he's slow singing them, and all the other girls are in the crowd. This girl in Nashville,
I like it.
If she is married or has a boyfriend,
we got problems.
He needs to lock it down and treat her forever like the queen we already knew she was. Mm. Go look at the video. It's the first time ever in Usher's like concert going experience. Brought her up. He's grinding on her. They're on the big screen.
Big screen.
And she is like utterly disgusted.
Like, what are you doing? You stink. You're sweaty.
Making a weird face.
Your breath probably
stinks.
He's
leaning in. Yeah. She's kind of leaning away. And it was so bad that he stopped. Got off, and then said, she won't be up here. And he waved her off the stage. They took the light off her, and I just thought.
Did he bring another one up? Did he go around
too? I don't know. The video stops. He's like, she don't want to be up here. He was all bitter and pissed because finally some girl was like, you're not that hot. And I just thought, if that was ever my wife.
I'd re-propose.
I don't know if you could ever have anything more evident that she truly loves you.
That's right. You're renewing the vows wherever she wants to go. You're buying a new an anniversary band
for
the
wedding
ring.
Let's play this game out because I have seen those videos. I know Chris Brown does a similar thing. The Janet Jackson ones, every time I see them, they blow my mind. She's in
Nicki Minaj used to do these.
They're dressed as
like this.
All leather. I'm Catwoman and I have a whip. And then they like tie some guy down to a bed and she's just jumping on top of him. And I now need to play the game out, knowing your affinity for said musical talent, Janet Jackson. You take the wife to a Janet Jackson concert, and she calls you up on stage. What's the reaction there? What's the vibe like in the room?
You're on the Jumbotron
here, bud. You're the selected candidate.
You're the only
one. Person sitting in 12B, please come up and be my case study for tonight. Are you going up on stage? Are you getting a side eye? Are you getting yelled at?
No, I'm going up on
and
stage.
And if she's doing the grinding on you while on the Jumbotron, what's the face?
Dude, there's a video
show
of
me the face. On YouTube, show
me
the face. Come on.
Show me your O face.
Jaw dropped, eyes wide open. Like,
One of a younger guy, and he's like almost, he can't control himself. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Because he's into it or because he's grossed
into
out by it.
Into it. Absolutely into it. Like, everything is in his face. I mean, it is. She's on top.
They
get into it.
They really give you the full show treatment there, when they pull you on stage.
The full frontal.
Yeah. Team player, and it's easier to say this than actually act. I think you got to do this move.
Mm.
But you also don't want the artist to hate you because you've been a fan of him your whole life.
Yeah, it's a tough call. It's a tough call. Because you play the reverse card, you think about your wife going on stage with Usher. It's not the most entertaining idea to you.
It's a terrifying.
Terrifying idea.
My buddy, one of my best friends took his wife to the Usher Vegas concert. And he sat second row.
Not doing
and
that.
I thought.
You got to sit in the 300 level.
Buddy.
You got to sit up top.
I don't think they had a 300 level. It was a small venue. And I'm like, what are you? And he goes. She didn't pick her.
Right. We all have the same thought, and then you go to the show that is the role reversed, and what do you think?
Go look at this video. This girl.
Good for her.
Congratulations to whoever is with this gal.
Good for her.
Or maybe she's in the ladies, and Usher didn't know. I don't know what it is, but I've never seen somebody so disgusted by Usher Raymond at a concert.
Get me out of here. I have a bit of college football stuff. I'm not going to get to all of it here. How do you react if you find out this information? You guys got a big football season coming up in Corvallis. A lot of questions. Got a new head coach. How's it going to go? And I tell you, or not I tell you, but the coach's wife tells you. You know what he likes to do?
What is something maybe we don't know as seeing head coach Sean Summerall that you would love Gator Nation to know about him?
He loves pedicures.
Oh, really?
That's his favorite extra thing to do. So every 2 weeks in the football season, John loves to get a pedicure. That's just a fun little happy about him.
Is this the team bonding thing that occurs?
We should get the team going. It's good for them, you know? It's a good quality thing. He loves it.
I'm out.
You're out on your head coach if he likes pedicures?
No.
This
just in.
Rex Ryan being added as a defensive specialist for.
I've been pretty loud about John Summerall and
let me see your toes.
Revitalizing Florida.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks.
I'm going to put this up as a poll question.
This is what did she say? This is what he likes to do?
She basically, the question was basically like, tell us something about your coach that that we don't know.
And my wife better be saying he's a psycho about being a better golfer.
His weakness is that he works too hard.
Give me literally anything else.
I'm going to put this in on a poll question right now. Are you in or out?
What does he say to the
on your head coach getting a pedicure every 2 weeks?
What's he say to the salon artist that phone goes off in the middle of this? You're lucky this ain't my football team. I'll throw this thing at you right now. I'll finish those feet.
I mean, look, pedicures do feel delightful. I've
never had one.
You've never had a pedicure?
No.
Because you don't like people touching your feet?
Never had a pedicure.
My daughter.
Well, I know you don't like people touching your feet.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about? Have you ever had a foot massage?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, essentially. It sits in warm water.
I guess
they
part
rub
of the full
stones.
Body massage.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's the same. I mean, it's very similar.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm not anti.
That tensed me up.
A foot massage tensed you up?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Tensed you up?
I don't like people messing with my feet.
Don't touch your feet?
You also don't like to be tickled.
That's true, too.
You don't like people touching you in general, do you?
Where is it okay to touch you?
Oh, well, he's got a child, so we know one area. It's pretty obvious.
Go to break.
You didn't like to be touched there. We'd have to have a deeper conversation.
We have like a yes or no chart for your shoulder. Okay,
it's just green in the groin.
Is the elbow
every
right?
Other area is a red dot.
Can I rub your weenus? Is that allowable? Is that okay? No.
I'll tell you, every 2 weeks, a pedicure.
Every 2 weeks, that's a lot.
Every
of
2 weeks,
I put up. Are you in or out on your head coach getting? I wrote this incorrectly.
You gotta word it correctly because getting a pedicure is different.
Head football coach getting a pedicure every 2 weeks.
There you go.
Every 2 weeks.
There you go.
That is in there.
I still think he's going to be
football
pretty
coach
good.
Twice.
But that's, yeah.
We're now out on John Summerall. We went from in on John Summerall last week to out on John Summerall this week.
Barbecuing, golf, yeah. Camping, hanging with kids. I don't know.
Loves making a birdie on a par five. That's what he's
oh
into.
My God.
That's my guy,
you ever get tapping birds on a par five? Not a better feeling in the world.
You know what he's got, though? Good cuticles. Yeah, loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM The Fam.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.